it's okay to not be perfect. I think a lot of new traders think trading has to be perfect to be profitable.
You become a person of success. You don't make success happen. Like, you become it. It comes to you by how you develop yourself. Doing well doesn't mean winning all the time, right? Doing well means showing up and running the play day in and day out. And I learned this from a kid named Don. He's like, why would we celebrate our wins if we're not going to dwell on our losses, right? So don't dwell on your losses. Don't celebrate your wins. Just keep trucking away day in and day out, because discipline has a negative connotation, right?
Sure.
Discipline to do that, discipline to do this.
Yeah.
You need to learn how to control yourself, right? You need to learn how to self-regulate, because here's what happens, and this is probably the horror story for most traders.
Why do you sell signals? Real quick, I want to thank today's sponsor, Top One Trader. You guys have probably heard me talk about them before, but as all this drama unfolds, I want to make sure that you guys understand why I've chosen to allow them to be the sponsor of the podcast. The main reason is I know the guys that are running the company, and they tell me what's going on behind the scenes. I get a little inside information that I can pass to you guys. So not only do you get a huge discount if you use the link and the code down below or flying in above my head, but you can also take my word for it when I say these guys are trying to adapt and stay ahead of all of this drama that, like I said, we're all operating in right now. So you can save some money with my discount code, save some money with the link down below, but also kind of rest assured that you're working with a company that is trying to do right by the trader. They're staying ahead of the curve, they're being overly transparent, and they're doing the best that they can to make sure you and me have favorable trading conditions, favorable trading platforms, and put ourselves in a position to succeed. Because I've always felt, and that's why I've shared it with you guys, this company wants to work with serious traders. So if you consider yourself a serious trader or a soon-to-be serious trader, use the link, use the discount code, check out Top One, and let's get back to the video. All right, boys, we are back with another episode. Listeners, thank you for being here. We've got Nick Stewart from Time to Eat Trading, and Clay Hodges from Top One Trader. Boys, it's good to see you.
Good to see
you. Excited to be here, man.
Absolutely. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it.
So, I like to start off with some excitement with the first question. So, let's have some fun with it.
Let's do it.
I'll go to you first, Nick. If you could describe yourself in the trading universe as a superhero, what superhero would you be?
Superman.
Tell us why.
Because I can do anything, man. I can do anything is possible. If I got to lift it, I can lift it. If I got to fly, I can fly. I can adjust. I can make pivots, and I can act as Superman.
If I got to dig out a drawdown?
If I got to dig out a drawdown, I can dig out.
Okay.
Losing streak, I could dig out.
Spin the world backwards?
Yeah, yeah.
If only.
Yeah,
right. Oh, I lost this trade. Just travel back in time real quick.
That would be a good one.
That would be like some Doctor Strange shit, though, I feel like, right there. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Totally.
Yeah. All right, go ahead. Same question for you.
I'd say like Deadpool
Good
or like Wolverine or
Good
something.
Answer. Why?
Where, you know, your limbs get chopped off or you get like shot at the
And it doesn't
times.
Matter?
Yeah, and then, you know, you end up like going in your hole for a little bit and then like coming back out and just ready to get after it.
Never.
Crack a couple jokes.
Unkillable.
And, yeah, pretty much. That's
I like
it.
That.
I mean, and that would be the key.
I like that. So that's a good little icebreaker for us.
Yeah, for sure.
What I want to talk about today with you guys is kind of broken down into four sections. So we're going to talk about entry signals. I want to talk about mindset. I want to talk about trade management. And then, of course, talk about funding companies and everything going on there.
Cool.
I think we start with entry signals, because entry signals to me are a foundational piece of trading success. Both of you have trading in your background, myself as well. So I think all three of us, because I know you guys, we trade differently. We have different ways of getting in the market. Yet we've all seen success. Now, success comes and goes, right? We have win streaks, we have losing streaks. That's part of this business. And we'll talk about managing the downside when we get into the trade management stuff. So let's focus on entry signal. So let's go to Clay first. Kind of break down for us a little bit your approach when you wake up in the morning of how am I going to take a position? How am I going to enter the market? What's the first thing you think of?
So generally what I do the night before is set alerts on, you know, my indicators. If anybody hadn't heard our first episode, it's more of a momentum-based system. So now just because that I have, say, an alert goes off, that just is pointing me in that direction. Doesn't mean I'm going to trade it. It just to narrow down the field because I'm looking for one setup. And then from there, it's more multiple confirmations. So across RSI, my momentum indicator, typically a Fibonacci level around 78.6. 86.3. And if I could at least have three, which would match up with the supply zone, if I could have at least, you know, in an ideal situation, 3 to 4 confluences, then, you know, that would be perfect.
Cool.
So that's the rules as they're set up. Now, the hard part of that is, you know, just actually waiting for those confluences to hit and giving it a second. And I think that all boils down to, like, preparation the night before.
100%. With the approach like that, what time frame do you start the day with?
4 hour.
And will you take the trade off the 4 hour?
No, 15 minutes.
So you'll start higher.
15 or 30 minutes.
Do you enter mid candle or do you only enter on 15 minute candle closes?
Well, I would do mid candle on like a 4 hour candle because, you know, there's multiple.
Sure.
On
but will you wait for a specific 15 minute, like, okay, it just closed here. The RSI is above this. The MACD is here. Now that it closed here, now I can take the position.
No, I'll wait on to a Bollinger Band.
Got
so
it.
Say if it's, and usually I'm looking for short positions. So if I'm looking for a sell, this is why I call it a rollover. If it's rolling over, generally price will hit that 15 minute, maybe even 5 minute Bollinger Band. So then that gives myself the best entry in terms of before the momentum actually takes over and it goes off and continues,
sure.
Right? That way I can maximize the risk to reward. So.
Do you consider that a price action strategy or an indicator strategy?
Price action, because it's just showing, like, and this is the thing, and when I had mentored people in the past, there's a big difference between people following indicators and then using them as a map.
That's what I'm getting.
Right, so like, it's just a map, and I look at it as a map to where it's showing me these key levels. So then, if it lines up to take it back to price action, say a Fibonacci level, which generally for this setup, and I talked about it on our last podcast, I thought it was a unique idea, but then there was the, what's Dr. Paul? David Paul. Yeah, from South Africa, and he was talking about the Gartley 222 pattern.
Right.
So you identify a trend on a super long time frame, and then on a shorter time frame, fade a pullback in the trend.
Sure.
That's what I'm doing. And generally when it lines up with the supply zone to the left, then that is, you know, mostly the best entry signal. But the indicators themselves are just to boil down the actual entry points.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Good info. Now, let's go. I was going to say, what do you think about that? Because it's way different than
yeah, totally. Completely
so
opposite.
Different from you.
I'm dizzy right now.
Don't kill my guests.
Yeah, well, that's the point. We just started.
I know. Here we go.
Yeah. I'll be the last man standing.
Always.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the coolest part about trading, right, is that everything works, right? So some guys are going to do things differently than other guys.
Sure.
Me, mine is more straightforward,
right?
So I'm very system-based, just like Clay. The only thing is I'm using pure price action. So I'm not touching any indicators. I have a playbook, and within that playbook, there's setups, 3 or 4 of them, just a handful, and then there's entry types. So every trade is going to be a bit unique in its own way, right? Depends if it's the new 4 hour, the last 30 of the 4 hour,
sure.
Or in the mid. So like Clay said, he's looking at the 4 hour. I'm looking at all the time frames. So I want to go every morning. I start from a fresh canvas, from weekly all the way down to the 30 minute. So I'll get my bias off the higher time frame, and then I'll wait for my playbook to show up on like a 30 minute or a 1 hour. And all I'm doing is exiting on previous candle lows or current candle lows if we're taking sells.
Sure.
Vice versa if we're taking buys. Depending on what the setup and the pattern actually formulates to is whether or not I'm entering on the current candle, the previous candle, or sometimes the flip of the candle.
Which makes sense.
Right. So that's it. I'm very simple, simplified.
No
system.
Indicators?
Zero.
Zero.
Yep.
And then you're in for a short amount of time.
Yeah,
right?
I'm looking to trade one candle. So if I can give you an indicator, it would be the time on the clock. Mm. So I know when volume's coming in, and that's the time I want to be in my trade and out. Mm. So 30 minute to a 1 hour candle, that's it. Done
that's
for
it.
The day.
When you say that, let's just dive into this because I'm interested. The time plays a factor in when the volume will come in, when the volatility will kick up.
Correct.
Can you share with us the windows of time that you see it be most volatile? And you're talking about gold. For those of the listeners that don't know, Nick is the gold master, right? Yeah. So this is gold or GJ, right?
This is gold.
I think we need to insert. By the way, dude, you should have said your superhero should have been that guy Goldfinger or Goldmember from Austin Powers, bro. That's you. Remember?
Gold Dust or something from
that. Yeah.
Gold Dust.
That's a good one,
that
too.
That would be legit.
Right.
This is strictly gold. I actually just got rid of Pound Yen. So we did it together as a team. We X'd it out off the watch list.
Bro, I feel like that's... Okay, so wait, sidebar.
Yeah.
We're talking about all this prop firm drama. We're going to get into the funding company drama in a second. Somebody in my live stream this morning said, all right, because I made a comment of like, we're going to have a fire pit and burn all of our something. And they were like, yeah, we should throw MetaTrader in the fire pit because of all our blown accounts. We should get it back.
Throw MetaCrim right in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But,
okay, so we're talking about gold.
Yep.
That's the idea.
We're talking about gold. So there's a couple times volume comes in.
Which a lot of people know gold as a very volatile asset. And they will stay away from trading gold because of its volatility.
Right. And for intraday traders, I actually understand that.
Sure.
Because you're going to have wicks up and down
with
gold.
Huge.
And that's the reason that one candle, right? Like, I don't want to be Rambo. Boom, 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 boom. I want to wait for the time, wait for the perfect air temperature, wait for everything's line up, and just take my shot and go. So these opportunities arise when there's high volume. So for me, what I've had or what I've sample sized and experienced is that you have you have the London Open, right? You'll get a bunch of volume during the London Open. Typically, I'm sleeping at that time. Very rarely do I trade London. But I get to the desk around 6, you know, and that's pre-New York. So sometimes you'll get a really good candle from 6 to 7. And then if there's nothing really, if it doesn't line up to the T, I'll let it go. Usually 7 to 8, I'll just hang. I'll just wait for volume because I know that there's more volume coming in at 8 a.m. Eastern, which is the NY Open.
Yep.
Right? So typically you'll see me take trades 8:15, 8:30. I like to stay away from the initial open because that candle can get a little wacky. But once 8:15, 8:30 comes around, I'm going to look for a setup.
Cool.
If it's there, it's whatever. We'll take it. If not, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to wait for that 4-hour close.
At 9 a.m. Yeah.
So now I have a better direction, right? Because I have a 4-hour closure. And I know there's volume coming in at 9:30, right? So what I've experienced is that you have prior to the 9 a.m. close or after the 9 a.m. close, you have a couple 15-minute rocket ship candles. You got 9:15, which you can, if you can find a doorway in pre-volume, then you're in a position. And then
would that be like 9 to 9:15, somewhere in that window?
So I'll let 9 to 9:15 go.
Okay.
Let that candle close.
Try to catch the volume at 9:15.
Before 9:30, yep. So I'm in before the volume.
So you're before the rocket ship at 9:30.
Yes, okay. Yes. If we can't get an entry in there, a safe, good, A-plus playbook position, that's okay. We sit on our hands.
Yep.
We wait for 9:30. Typically, we're going to take a trade at 9:30 because for some strange reason, the data that we have, the playbook, the setups that we have, tend to form at 9:30. Right. So typically that's my most common time of trading. That's going to be your NYSE open. You're going to have a lot of volatility flow in.
Okay.
And if I can't get in there, then 9:45 is where I'll try and get the tail end of that volume.
That's right? What I was going to ask you is how long will that move sustain?
Yeah, well, it'll go. It'll go from 9:15 to 10. That's why if you go...
10 is when it starts to slow down in volume for you.
Yep, and then I'll chill out 10:30, let things go. But if you go look at the candles on gold, it's very simple. You go look at the hourly candles, 30-minute candles, you'll notice a common theme, 9 to 10, right? 8 to 9, 9 to 10 are going to be your biggest candles all day.
Do we know why?
Well, you got core retail sales, PPI.
You have new
PPI.
You
right, so I mean, I think that's...
But let's get why. Like, because what I'm... like. Specific of like, is there, because gold, what you're saying, tell me if I'm wrong, it is more volatile at the open than it is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
Where when I trade SPX, I'll find 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon trending moves where it'll fade and go nicely.
Yeah.
Slightly different than what you're talking about of riding this volatility. But at the same time, there's also, I can understand what you're saying. There's not a lot of volatility in the afternoon.
Yes.
So do we know, is it it has to be, I think, more than news and more than retail sentiment. I think that the big players do what they want to do at the beginning part of the day. They don't want to be there moving money around after 12 o'clock.
Yep.
So is that the thesis you're kind of operating under?
I would say so. Okay. I would say so because that's what the data shows me.
Sure.
So I don't really dive too deep into why or what, you know. No,
you're just looking at the data. What does that mean when you say the data? Is that a back test or is that a forward test?
Forward test.
So that's like you looking at your stats if you're trading.
Correct. Nice. Correct. And sample sizing it day by day.
Sure.
Right now we're looking at the NASDAQ, right? Yep. So we've been sample sizing it, which is just watching it from June of last year. And we just started taking trades on it now, right? So we sample sized this pair to see if, will our setups play out?
Does the playbook work over
here? Does the playbook work there? And one thing I've known about NASDAQ is you do get that volatility later on versus where gold is kind of jammed up in that NY open, stock exchange open.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, with the NASDAQ too, you won't get an 8 o'clock mover on NASDAQ.
Rarely.
This is very rarely 8 a.m. news. It's 8:30 usually.
All the time.
So 8 a.m. is not really a New York open in the sense of the same way it is for gold or for a Forex.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
With both of your approaches, do you both look for more than one-to-one risk reward?
No.
Because our audience is always arguing about this in the comments all the time. Every video that I post talking about 1R take profits, I get people telling me it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I get people telling me you should be going for more. You should be making more. Mm-hmm. And I know that those are the peanut gallery comments.
Sure.
But I'm curious for you guys, both of you have different experience. Now the audience knows both of you get into the market completely different. Mm-hmm. Are you looking for 1R? Are you looking for less than 1R? Are you looking for more? Give context to now like the management of the trade itself.
Sure. Yeah. So me, anything 1R is good enough.
Okay.
So I will trade what's on the market that day. I won't try and say, okay, my strategy, I need a 2R or a 3R. I'm going to approach the desk and trade what's in front of me. So sometimes it's only a little over half R. And what I like to call that is an advantage point. So what I'll do in those situations is if it's good enough, I'll bag profits, right? I'll take 80% off. If it's not good enough, meaning it's, you know, maybe only 10 pips, 12 pips, then I will take my risk off. So
meaning
I'll go,
what?
I'll
cut the size?
I'll lock my stops at break even.
Got it.
And I'll let it go.
Got it.
And I'll let it go to the next, let's say if we're shorting the market, I'll let it go to the next heavy support down there.
Or turn and stop you.
Or turn and stop.
Either way, you can reevaluate. You make a little bit more. Right. Okay.
Yep.
I think that's a good approach. Yep. I'm similar. We're like, I have a couple of trades recently where I'm aiming for 1R.
Yeah.
It's hitting a zone at yesterday's high.
Yeah.
It's 0.8R.
Yep.
And in my head, I'm like, why would I stay in this trade for 0.2R? That's
right.
Not what I'm doing. And a good reference that I would share with the audience, I had somebody explain it to me like this years ago, and it never really stuck, but it makes sense now. Let's say you risk $1,000 on a trade. You make 800, but you're aiming for the full 1R at 1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're now, in theory, floating $1,800 of risk. You're up 800 and you still have your initial 1,000 if you haven't moved your stop.
Yep.
When you start to look at it like that, you go, do I really want to stay in this for $200 more?
Yep.
Let me take some gains off. Let
for
me
sure.
lock my stop. Let me mitigate that risk.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, at least as a day trader, and we got to get into this as well, I think we do want to be discretionary because we do trade at the end of the day, the P&L. We don't make money if we don't realize gains.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. You were right. It went 4R by the end of the day, but it also retested your entry price 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't realize those gains, or maybe it hit your stop loss before going, if you don't realize those gains, we could be in the same trade. You could make money and I could lose money.
Exactly.
So you still at some point, I think, want to trade the P&L. What do you think about that? Do you agree with that? Do you think trading the P&L makes sense?
Yeah, I do. I mean, my strategy is completely different. I'm going for one to three, like in an ideal scenario. The reason I moved from just a 15 minute or just scalping, for one, so I could set an alert and, you know, still have time to sit there and let it play out, not have to be like, you know, on there for 3 hours a day because I have other stuff going on. But like, so yeah, I'm going for 1 to 3, 1 to 4 in a perfect scenario. And because of, say, taking entry on 15 or 5 minute, if it is a 4 hour move where, you know, multiple 4 hour candles is going to be around 100 pip move, then that pretty much, if I could use, say, in Forex, you know, a 20, 30 pip stop, then that's going
to
be great.
3 to 4.
Yeah, but, you know, of course, my hit rate's going to be
lower.
It is, 40, 50%.
Yeah.
And that was a learning curve for sure, but you know, so I think it goes with the strategy too.
100%.
Now, if you're scalping and you're in, if you're like sitting there and taking half that gold candle right during news, then yeah, because you want to take the profits on that because it could shoot up or it will shoot up and then come right back down and clear everybody out. I do think that, you know, in the prop space, it's super important for people to take profits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I've lost challenges before or lost out on getting paid out because like I tried to hold trades too long. And then what I think you called a popcorn trade. And that's like, that's almost worse than losing a trade.
It is.
For sure. I mean, you know, because that's like you sit there, you follow your rules, you're, you know, doing all your shit and following through. And then you don't take profits. It's more of like a kicking the balls anyways.
What do you think that is, though? Why do you think people take popcorn trades? Are you tired of losing money on your funded accounts? Buying a challenge, failing it. Buying a challenge, failing it. Let me help you. Stop. Let's slow down. Let's build proper foundation for trading success. And the way that I can help you do that is in the Black Shirt Club. The Black Shirt Club is our 12-week intense trading mentorship program. And I say it's intense because there is a workload required. We need you to plug into a system that is proven to get guys funded, get them paid out, and keep them funded. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, click the link down below, book a free call with me. I've got all the information you need down there. It's a 10-minute call. You got nothing to lose. The Black Shirt Club is the thing that is making the difference for the guys who are trading, can't get the consistency right, can't get a funded challenge to stick with them, can't get it past. The Black Shirt Club, again, is the difference maker of what we're seeing help separate the guys that are just buying challenges and failing to the guys that are buying challenges, passing them and scaling and growing and getting paid out. So click the link down below, book a free call with me, and hopefully I'll see you in the Black Shirt Club very soon. Let's get back to the video.
I think, well, you know, if I get locked into it has to be 1-4, 1-3, and not like, and not paying attention to other price action, I think then that would, you know, force me to trades longer.
That's not incorrect, but I would say it's deeper than that.
That's the surface level.
Why?
It's deeper, more greed and I mean,
ego. That's what I think of. Yeah, it's like, totally. I knew it was going to go 4R. Yep. I got to stay in
the
it.
The desire to be right, even when all the signals are telling you it's coming back.
Yeah.
That's what it truly is, for sure.
You want to hear my thoughts on that?
Yeah.
I'll give you my thoughts. So, and it's funny you say that the win rate's 40-50% because that sounds accurate, right? So I think that depending on your system is what you need to go for. So if you only have, let's say, and not only, because that's actually probably average, 40-50% win rate. But when you look at win rate from a different perspective, that I always love the quote, base hits win ball games.
Yep.
Right?
It's so true, man.
When you look at it from a different perspective and yes, you're going to need the higher RR, right? When you have a 40 or 50% win rate. And that's fine. You can make a ton of money doing that, right? A lot of people do. But when you have a when you only focus mainly on win rate, like Austin and I will go for the one-to-ones. What it does is it allows you to walk away from the desk as a winner. Right? Yep. When you have a 70 to 80% win rate, which is about what I have, what happens when you win? You feel good, right? Like you stack a win, you got all, most people lost that day, even if it's 20 pips.
Yeah.
You got a nice win under your belt, you took money out the markets, you go about your day, right? Chest out a little bit, you feel good, like walking around. The next day you come back and you take your whatever, little 1R, right? Little 1R, and what do? You walk away with a W. So what does that do up here, right? That boosts your confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Makes you believe it's real.
It makes you believe it's real. Yeah. It allows you to live that day with that feeling of being a winner.
Yeah. So that's a super advanced or evolved trader though, which it takes a super long heart, like very a lot of discipline to be able to walk up, get up and walk away and go through the rest of your day.
I'll tell you what
people can't do.
Right? I had two longs on SPX this morning. Mm-hmm. We weren't breaking under yesterday's low. That's a sign for me not to be short. So I'm looking for longs.
Yep.
I made back the loss from yesterday on the first long. And then in the second long, I'm driving here.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, let's manage this aggressively. Mm-hmm. I could stay in this trade. I was up $700 or $800 in the car. So I could stay in this and we could rise all day and I could get 5R or I can take this. I took it. It instantly shot down to entry and now it's still chopping around that price.
Yep.
I'm sitting there driving like, nice, I just cleared $1,400 today. Not bad. Oh. So it reinforces, like you said, that idea of like, this is real trading. Like I'm actually making money. But what it comes with, like you said, is that learning curve, that time of saying, I didn't catch all of every move,
right.
and that's okay.
Yeah,
I wasn't 100% right. Like, I had to take two entries to get to, it's okay. Yep. It's okay to not be perfect. I think a lot of new traders think trading has to be perfect to be profitable. Yeah. Wrong. It's so wrong. You know what I mean? Where you can be almost more of a art than science and still be profitable. Mm. I think what most people, to tie this point together, most people just don't get that you need a foundation. You need an approach. We just discussed your entry approach. We discussed your entry approach. You need that approach that is either forward tested, back tested. It's proven that it's worked in the past.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're just guessing, right? Once you have that, that's your science.
Yep.
Then the art is, hey, we're both long SPX. I made money and you didn't. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that comes down to art, feel. And how do you teach feel? Experience.
Yep.
I think experience is the toughest thing about being a trading coach, a trading mentor, because you can't give that, there's no pill for experience. You know what I'm saying?
How do you develop somebody's intuition or like get somebody to learn to listen to their gut? That comes from their own self-discovery, analysis, whatever, you know, and you can't do that by like, you know about the conscious competence pyramid.
Of course.
We talked about this. You know, you have
the quadrants.
Yeah, the quadrants, the unconscious, incompetent, you don't know you suck.
Right.
You're consciously incompetent. Now you know you suck.
Right.
You need to do something. Conscious competence, where that is, you know, you have a system, you're following through with it, and then, you know, and you're sticking to a set of the rules. But then there's like a leap that goes to unconscious competence to where, you know, you can do it to where you know, dude, I better close this trade right now. You know, I've just got other shit to do today. You know, you're already just like tapped in, which, you know, Mark Douglas, trading in the zone. I mean, that's the zone.
That is the zone.
And that's like, only comes from experience and being able to tap into your own gut feelings and intuition. And, you know, that's, everybody has their own timeline on that. It doesn't matter. You can sit in front of a chart for 20 years and keep going to one thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next, or, you know, think it's the indicator or whatever, the system.
But it ain't.
But it's not.
It's
the person.
Yep.
That's it. And that's like, the faster you realize that, I mean, that's when you're going to start having
dude, it's funny you bring this up. I had a guy this week tell me, I just got to find my technical edge. And I said to him, I'm like, bro, we are trading, because he's in the mentorship. I'm like, we are trading the same trades.
Right, right. A2 there's and everything.
A2, Anchor VWAP stuff. There's no technical edge you're missing that I have and you don't have. It is a you psychologically issue, not a you technically issue. Have you had that with your guys in the mentorship? Because you have a lot of live streamers, right? You got a lot of people following your trades.
Yep.
Have you ever been in a trade that you make money and then someone else takes the same trade and they don't make money?
Of course. Of course.
It's happens frustrating. It bothers me.
Yep.
I'm the one profitable and it rubs me the wrong way sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, no, going back to what you said, you really want to develop you, right? Trading, becoming successful in anything is a byproduct of the inner work that you're doing on yourself, right? So if you're rolling out of bed, you have no morning routine, your laptop's on your desk while you're laying in bed while you're trading, do you actually think you deserve success?
Eating some Doritos.
Yeah.
Or like crumbs. A Hot Pocket.
Yeah, drinking tap water. And
just low vibing it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
literally, low vibration.
Yeah, yeah.
Killing your sperm and thinking you're going to make money trade. Come on.
Yes. You become a person of success. You don't make success happen. Like, you become it. It comes to you by how you develop yourself.
Yes.
So someone who's well-developed is going to wake up early, have a morning routine, eat the right food,
and then
feel better.
They will feel the market better. Like their discretion, their feel will be better because they're taking it more professionally.
Yeah, and what I tell the guys is, especially in the 4-week program that I have, is that, and some of these guys are new or semi-new, it's like, you're going to learn about this. You're going to hear me talk about this, but you're going to have your aha moment later.
Yeah.
It's not going to come here, right?
Yeah.
This is where you're going to learn, and then later on in the markets, you're going to be like, oh, that's what he was saying, or wow, that's what he meant by that. And then through that, you'll develop your own experience, which will develop your own intuition. And then you'll begin to understand you a little bit better, which in return will help you understand your playbook in the market.
And usually the fastest route to do that is by decluttering our lives.
Yes.
Or, you know, just cutting out shit.
System-based, man.
Well, right.
So big on living by systems.
So say you're going to get into doing something or like the gym or trading or whatever it is. We take along all this baggage, or maybe somebody's, before they come to your group, they've been trading for 2 years, no, you know, real success. And but they're in like 30 Discords, 20 Telegram signal channels. You know what I'm saying?
Work.
Like that's
never
the thing. And they like carry all this shit with them. And the faster that you can like cut out stuff from your life, then you'll be able to attract new, like, you know, what you're actually intentionally calling in. But
very well said. Both of you, very good points.
Yeah, it's a rebirth in a way. You have to unlearn what you've learned that hasn't been working. And you have to, and it's very difficult to do this, right? And you have to develop a clean slate. And I did it, so I understand what it's like. I was using an intraday strategy before, and then I got caught up in a couple months of back and forth of trying to implement that with this and this with that, and just didn't really mesh together. So I just had to clean slate it, focus on pure candlesticks, and develop my edge, you know, and get rid of the things that, you know, I already had known that didn't work for me, and just clean slate.
As we've talked about mindset here for the last couple of minutes, I think it's a good time to ask some other questions about the mindset that leads to profitability. So first for you, Nick, why do you sell signals?
Because mainly I sell signals is because we have the live stream and there's people that cannot join the live stream or focus on the live stream. So I sell them so that they are aware of what trades I'm taking. They can either take the trade with me or watch the stream back to understand why I took the trade. It's not so you can be working at Burger King, lift up your phone, oh look, trade signal, take the signal and then know nothing about the
100 lots.
Yeah.
That's not usually how it goes. Let me flip this burger.
Right.
Won't be here much longer.
You know the over leverage and
right.
Oh yeah, I guess I gotta lower that.
Lower it a little bit.
So right. I even tell, and I actually shut my signals group down because because I don't want people to come in and try and basically take the fish without learning how to fish themselves.
Well, that's what it is.
It is.
That's why I asked.
And that never worked for me.
Yeah.
So I know it's not going to work for other people.
It's kind of like where everybody starts, though.
It is.
You know what I mean?
I think so, too.
And you got to just recognize where people are at on the journey.
I agree. Sure. I think, I'll tell you, I was thinking about now, like 6 months ago, starting Signals.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about doing it under ASFX.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about doing it under a completely different brand name and an avatar that no one even knew it was me. And I just promote it and you would never even know. Because I know there's so many people that want handouts. There are so many people that will just pay for the shortcut. Even if they know deep down it probably leads them in a bad place, they still will pay just because of the chance that it doesn't.
The instant, maybe I can get
And as a businessman, I'm not going to lie. I see money. I want to go take the money. That's what being a business entrepreneur, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I was tempted to do it.
It's a huge
And
market.
Then I talked to you about it.
Right.
And I talked to other guys about it. And I was like, the same thing you said. I'm like, I built my brand on self-sufficiency.
Sure.
This is not. Now, the way you positioned it where it's like, hey, I'm going to send you this signal and then you can see why.
Yeah.
That is different. Like, I think that is where you start to get into the right direction, like you said, of like, now I'm teaching you how to fish.
Yep. Yep.
So I think that a lot of people will be sucked into it at the beginning.
Well, they get sucked into it, but then maybe they might be, let's see what Austin's doing here.
Yeah.
Like if you send a chart, then begin to like reverse engineer the signal.
Yeah. Well, dude, I see some people, this guy Mamba FX, did you see Kimmel made that video where he exposed Mamba FX's signals?
I did not.
So Kimmel makes this video, and you know Kimmel, right?
Yes.
So Kimmel makes this video and he talks about how Mamba sends a signal right at market open on a Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And it's like, buy NASDAQ or something like that with a stop loss way down here. And then like 35 seconds later or something, trade closed, 1 hour hit. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, if you look at Kimball's screen, the spread and everything has the market going like that. It's like the first 5 seconds of the market opening.
Right.
So it just proved like, even if you do send the chart, even if you do send the analysis, the signal provider can literally just be random and be like, yep, take profit right now. I'm out.
Yeah.
Made $1,500 or whatever. Well, you know what I mean?
Listen to this. So I still have signals, but you can't get in them anymore.
Right.
But I do have a community where we send them.
Right.
So I have a bot that's hooked directly up to my MT5.
Right. So when you take a trade, it goes.
Instantly.
I've seen that.
Exact numbers.
Right.
Exact.
Which is cool.
Partial.
I think that's the right way to do it if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
For not much longer, though.
Yeah.
Not
much longer.
MT5 bot.
It is an MT5 bot.
Probably by the time this is out.
This will be out
mid-March,
end of March, so we'll be transitioned over.
There'll be things for, not to change the subject, but like DX Trade and everything else.
Well, we can talk about that because I think the mindset stuff goes hand in hand with this. With all the prop firm, funding company, whatever you want to call it, virtual simulated funding, trading, whatever they call it, all the drama right now, it is making people question a lot of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go to futures? Should I go to stocks? Where should I go? So it is making people reconsider things,
yep.
which is, I think, opening up opportunity for guys like you and you and myself. Mm-hmm. So first, let's talk to you since you're the head honcho here at Top One.
Right.
How have you seen the community react to the drama with MetaQuotes?
Man, I think it's just so I have two perspectives. One as a trader and two as, you know, being founder of Top One and stuff. So I have a lot of different DMs about that. But
in between all the dick pics?
Right. Yeah, for sure. Which it's a lot to
look at. A lot of those. No, just kidding.
Wait, what was the question? I started thinking about dick pics.
So tell us about your perspective on the meta quote stuff.
Okay.
Stop with the dick pics. Let's go business. Business.
Get my head out of
business.
Come on, man.
Back in the game.
So, dude, I think that what is driving most people crazy, including myself, now I have a lot more clarity because I've met with Think Markets and people behind the scenes. But there's so much uncertainty around it and so much vagueness from other people that were, you know, had inside information for prop firms that, like, I think most of the traders are like, dude, just tell me what the fuck's going on. I just want to know what's happening. Is this
someone be transparent?
Well, and so, and because nobody is, and that's what I've really tried to do with Top One. And, you know, I've sent videos out to my group and stuff and, you know, to our community. And we have some more stuff dropping soon. But, like, most people just want to know what's happening because there's so much vagueness. And because there's so much vagueness, then they turn to Twitter. And then all of the armchair prop firm insiders, like, you know.
You're telling everybody on Twitter doesn't know everything?
Right. So there's a dude with, like, a Pikachu fucking thumbnail. And he's like, let me show you how the prop.
This is how MetaQuotes is going to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Literally.
So, yeah, and that's exactly what's happening. And so, man, you know, I think that MetaQuotes had, like, a stranglehold on the industry. I mean, we were talking about this yesterday. Like, MT4 is, like, using AOL from, like, 1998. I don't know if you're like, what's AOL?
No. Do you know what a cassette is? Oh, it's just like using a cassette player.
Right. Dude, I'm so old, I still have an AOL
email. Oh,
don't tell people.
No, I'm just kidding. My parents do. I'm like, Mom, you need to change.
Mom, get off the AOL. Okay, that's an interesting perspective as, you know, someone that is kind of, I think you're getting it from both sides. You get it from the traders, but you're also...
Well, they just want to know what's going on. Are they going to be able to trade? So the truth is like, yes, you'll be able to trade, but you got to learn how to adapt and change. And people that are unwilling to, they, because there's so much vagueness, you know, I think they're like, okay, cool. Well, can't trade with FTMO now, so let me go to, you know, another one and then another one, right? Like, it's no sense in just, like, calling out random ones, but it's all the same. Everybody's going to have to do that more than likely, and that's the trend, right? So you're not going to be able to find one place if you're in the United States to where you're like, still be able to hold on to MetaTrader. Like, you know, I hate to break it to you, but you're going to have to learn a new platform. Yeah. But, you know, it's all about perspective. Like, and, you know, I think if we're talking about, like, success and mindset, perspective is the actual, once you can
adaptability
learn.
Adaptability is a huge characteristic
of
success.
Totally, man. Like, if you can start to learn to, like, see, you know, not so much the glass half full, but see, like, where can I learn from this situation and what's, like, the true thing going on behind here? Because most people are in a deep victim consciousness of, like, MetaTrader's fucking us over and this prop firm's fake and, like, this and that. That's not the case. And what's good about it is that the prop firms that are unable to adapt or unable to integrate DX Trade, Match Trade, C Trader, whichever ones, or build their own platforms, you know, they're going to fall off. And these are the guys that are, like, you know, HFT allowed.
They're done.
Right, they're done. And so ultimately it's a good thing because people that are actually running it like a real business behind the scenes, then, you know, then
they will adapt.
They'll adapt.
You guys will adapt.
Right, for sure.
That was what I was really big on.
Integrating TradingView. And so with DX Trade, they have, so, like, people don't know much about them, but, you know, they actually are the backing and the platform for Charles Schwab, TD Ameritrade, a lot of the futures platforms, and, you know, Thinkorswim. Webull, I think.
Wow.
I'm not positive on that one, but it's all kind of the same.
Sure.
So the thing is that, like, they, one of the big concerns and is that, like, well, MetaQuotes is down. Is it just a matter of time till these other platforms go down in prop firms? So, you know, I don't think so because DX Trades is already connected to these bigger platforms.
Right.
So
it's already kind of legit.
Where, in, you know, MetaQuotes isn't. You know, they had stranglehold on the platform and prop and really just trading industry. That's what everybody learned on, so that's why it's hard to give it up. But yeah, you know, I mean, it was coming. Everybody knew after MFF that like something was going to happen. It could be like a thousand times worse under that situation.
I want your opinion on this, but I think you're right. You do want to look at it. If you're a trader, cool. I don't have to use this old, outdated MetaTrader anymore. Yeah. I can get something better.
Yeah.
And it just like you said, you learned MetaTrader. You learn TradingView, you can learn DXTrade. Yep. And I think
and TradingView is going to integrate with DXTrade.
So it's even easier.
So, I mean, they have an integration to it, which is sick.
A lot of people have been sending me questions about DXTrade, and when this comes out, you'll probably have already made those tutorials you were talking about. I think they're going to be a great idea because people have questions on how to get over. So to be able to send them to you guys at Top One saying, I mean, there's no other firm, at least as of me filming this with you guys, there's no one else like, hey, everybody, we're going to educate you on this new platform. Let's get everybody moved over. No one else is like, come on in holding your hands. They're all like, yo, get on the new train or get out kind of thing.
Yeah, or just like a canned email from the CEO or whoever it is.
And so, really, it's written by the legal team.
Yeah, pretty much. But so like, and what Austin's referring to is like, and, you know, so Nick and his community, Time to Eat, works with us as well. And you have a sick community, man. They're super loyal. Yes, it's amazing. And, you know, so I'm making a training because as a trader, I have to learn DXTrade too.
Yep.
So I figured as I'm learning it on literally over this weekend, I'm going to make like an 8 to 10 to 12 video tutorial of like how to link everything up, you know, how to use it and to instruct people on the actual moving over process. So it's not like, you know, here's your DXTrade logins, man. Good luck. You know what I mean? So I think that's what most traders too are missing. And that's where a lot of the fear is coming from.
Yeah, I dig it.
What do you think your community is going to think about this situation with MetaQuotes? Because I know you said you have a lot of people not even in the States.
Yeah.
So they're like, can you stop talking about it? Because you're bothering
me. I would say if I wasn't in the US,
I'd be like, shut up. All
right, yeah, right. Get it. Right. Yeah, I mean, we're
stupid Americans thinking they're the center of the universe.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
That's true. Well, number one, Clay, thanks for that. You're going to do all that for the traders. That's really good leadership on your end. And
thanks, man.
I'm very big on controlling what I can control. So as a leader, you know, we have to understand that there's going to be adjustments. There's going to be tweaks. And it should be an easy transition, right? It shouldn't be a big deal. It shouldn't be something that knocks you off your horse, right? If you're mentally tough, which you have to be a successful trader, then this adjustment should just be a little, you know,
breeze.
Skip to my loo.
Yeah.
Dude, that's such a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
That's what I said yesterday to somebody. I think it was you. I was like, 9 months from now, this is a non-event.
Yeah.
If everything goes well, this is a non-event.
Right.
Everybody's just suckling at the clickbait drama and growing their YouTube channels.
That's it,
and
bro.
Shit. It's a great way to do it, you know, if you wanted to
go that route. And we're all on Twitter. We're all in this. Yeah. I've gone days recently because I've been very busy where I don't go on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Then you go onto Twitter and it's its own little universe of like shit going on and people saying things that doesn't have anything to do with real life.
Yeah.
You forget it is like a micro ecosystem and it's like, all right, does everybody in here really know everything? No. It's a bunch of people talking as if they know facts with opinions.
Yeah.
There's people telling me this. There's people that are then telling them why they are stupid for telling me this. It's just craziness. Yeah. Where, again, free speech is fine, but when you actually come down to trusting those things, it's tougher. And that's why I appreciate you and Matt being so open and coming on the show and talking with everybody. Because we could call people out by name, but we won't. There are many other CEOs that dodge podcasts. I've tried to sit with a couple of them. They dodged. Not necessarily that they say no, but, I won't be here. I can't make it here. I can't. Okay, well, if I ask you like two or three times and you say no, I'm going to stop asking you, bro. You don't want my audience. Sure. You don't want. So, like, I think the audience really appreciates the transparency.
Yeah, dude, it's a fun situation to be in.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? And like, you know, come here, kick it with you guys.
Of course,
of course.
So let's go into another important question.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll go to you first and then we'll go to Clay.
For sure.
So Nick, what do you think a prop firm is looking for in their A-book traders?
Profitability, consistency, not over risking, not overdoing it. Someone who can stick with the same plays over and over and over again. You don't want to see a trader do a swing trade one day, a scalp the next day, hit a home run. I think prop firms, and if I was in that situation, I want to see the player that steps up and takes base hits day in, day out. I don't care if they lose or if they win, but I want to see some commonality, right? Something that they actually can prove that there's something concrete to their trading, that they do well most of the time. And doing well doesn't mean winning all the time, right? Doing well means showing up and running the play day in and day out. So for me, if I own a prop firm, that's the trader I want to see. Someone like you, someone like you. I don't care the way you do it. I just want you to do it that way, the way that works for you over and over again. And then I can say, okay, I can back this trader, right? But if you got someone swinging and randomly getting 10% a day, you know, when they, and they, it's just, it's not duplicatable, right? So you need something duplicatable.
How accurate is he?
Yeah, on point.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would add to that, like, knowing who that person is or being able to reach out to him and open a dialogue with it, not necessarily be like, dude, you fucked up on that GJ trade.
Right.
What are you doing? Like, not like that, but
almost,
you know, just to know who they are. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah. When I worked,
because the goal is to get a sick group of traders.
Exactly. When I worked, I was going to say at that firm in New York, T3,
yeah,
they did kind of do that. They would have someone in the office who would come over and be like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, we see the trades you're trying to put through. We see you're losing. What's going on?
Right.
So to an extent, yeah, I think traders would benefit from a community, not necessarily their funding company or their prop firm, but a community.
Sure.
This is why you and me are popular.
Yeah.
They benefit from getting a smack on the ass. Like, yo,
yeah,
what
yeah
are you doing? Like, mm-hmm, this is actually not proper.
Yeah.
So I love that answer. I love that add-on. Do we think that over the next few years, more prop firms or less prop firms will pop up? More or less?
More.
You think so? More?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, probably more. I think it's going to be if people are willing to play by the book. I think it's it's obviously changing every single day. So
yeah,
it's not going to be as easy as it was, you know. So
yeah, good answer. Yeah. Do you guys think that there's opportunity in the sense of, hey, I'm a really good trader. I don't want to necessarily put my money in with a financial advisor. I want to manage my money myself. I've proven I could day trade it. Do you think there's opportunity for some of these bigger guys that are getting, like us, in 30 years, when we're 50, 60 years old, mm-hmm, we've amassed more capital. Can prop firms ever attract that client? Or will prop firms always attract the younger, smaller money kind of guy?
I think the later.
You think so?
I think the later, because when you have a guy with a proven system who is sitting on liquid,
yeah,
he doesn't need anybody.
That's what I'm saying.
Simple.
So it'd be tough to bring him over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would he?
Right. Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. I mean, it's totally, it's a different business model. It depends, yeah, like which one you're talking about, right? So
sure,
if it was a more in-house firm, right, then,
different,
you know, different people that you'd be attracting. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think generally the smaller people and the advantage, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, especially with all the drama going on, the opportunity is still there for, you know, you just have to get linked in with, you know, a solid group like Top One or something like that. But,
yep,
you know, most people don't have, you know, access to 100K to trade or even, sure, 10K to trade, right?
Correct. So it's a really good starting point.
That opportunity is there,
yeah,
you know, and like it's harder and harder and still like, no matter if you're trying to do e-com or trading or whatever it is, or mm-hmm, you want to open a restaurant,
yep,
dude, it's going to take a couple years to get there.
Right.
But like with trading, you do have access to, now with the, it wasn't as simple. It was simpler like, you know, 3 months ago and especially a year ago when you had all these different prop firms and you could just link them up with the trade copier.
Yeah, right? the good old days.
Yeah, the glory days.
Yeah,
yeah, for days, sure, right, dude. But that's going to open back up. I mean, shit's going to pop up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the opportunity is still there. So everybody wants to suck on the drama and the doom and gloom. But, you know, for people like, you know, both you guys,
yeah,
and both your groups, we have traders that are funded and on our A books for both y'all's groups.
Yep.
Then, you know, I mean, they're making money. So
yeah,
yeah, squeeze it while it's,
yeah,
here.
Yeah, do it while you can.
Do it while
it's going to change.
It provided the opportunity for me, right? As a upcoming trader, before I found a prop firm, I was trading $1,500 bucks,
right,
$2,000, $3,000,
right,
where then I was able to capitalize on 100K. And did it take a little while to get it going? Of course.
Yeah.
But that payout, you know, can take care of 2 or 3 months worth of expenses.
More than that, bro.
More than that.
I've had guys that have lost money on challenges for 6 months and in 1 month made it all back and
exactly
run green.
100, that's happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened to me too. So
yeah,
I do believe the opportunity.
And guess what?
Is there.
They weren't trading ICT strategies, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I think that,
yeah,
let's talk about that for a second because we have a different way of trading. We've all talked about entry signals. We talked a little bit about position sizing and trade management.
Yep.
some of these guys that, like, again, he is much less on the internet, I think, than we are. We're out there every day. You could reach me or you any day, anytime on Instagram.
Yeah.
These guys that, like, make a persona and they kind of hide behind it. I think that that almost creates a false sense of reality within the trading space. It makes profitable trading seem more elusive than it is. Where I believe that there are tons of profitable strategies, potentially an infinite amount of profitable strategies, because there's an infinite amount of way to combine indicators and moving averages and 44 moving average and a 66. Like, there's an infinite combination of these things. So how can you ever say there's only one profitable way? Right. You know what I mean? So I'm curious to hear from you guys, especially from you, because you talk to traders from all over different groups. We're kind of in our own ecosystems. Do you think that there is one strategy or a few strategies that are better than the rest? Or do you kind of agree with me that it's the trader?
I agree with you. I mean, if there was one, you know, people would have figured it out by now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and what I would say is ICT has a million subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah,
do you think
he
has a million profitable traders?
I have no idea. I mean,
I'm going to guess no. Right, I'm going to put $100,000 on no.
Too many people focus on the strategy, man.
Yeah.
So this gets back to our conversation, like, you know, 30 minutes ago. Like, you could have the golden strategy with the 100% hit rate. People would still manage to lose because they're not, you know, in alignment.
Yep.
So, like, you know, I mean, it just adds to the elusiveness and the internet beefs and stuff like that. At the same time, some of the biggest, like, hedge fund traders behind the scene, nobody knows who they are.
Too. Never. And you never will.
You never will. So that's the thing. But, yeah, man, I mean, just people take their drama everywhere. We're just trying to make money.
That's it.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on it?
You know, again, I just keep going back to, I'm a big believer in self-mastery. You know, if you can master self, if you can be good to yourself and think, speak, and do all the same things and have everything lined up, you're going to find a strategy that works for you, right? ICT, I don't know much about him, but he's been on the stream a couple times.
Oh, he's popped in your
stream? Nothing but love,
Damn, bro, we should be bowing down to him, bro. He's not knighted, bro. It's like getting knighted or something.
Yeah, so do I hear people talking about the strategy all the time? Of course, you know, but again, every strategy works.
Nick, you're selling in this kill zone fair value gap. What are you doing?
No, but that's a good thing, man. He comes on the stream, shows some love. And so, like, it's the people like that, like, he's not, you know, hey, mine's the best and you guys suck. Like, that's just like what other people created on down the,
a lot of times,
down
it's not
the trickle down effect.
It's
of
not
it, you know
the
what I'm
face,
saying?
It's more so the people.
Yes,
down
he's
below.
Not the problem. It's his cult.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
He's convinced people that this is the only way to make money. And that was my point. It's like, I don't believe that's the right idea.
Right.
He can have whatever marketing story he wants. I could have made up a cool marketing story.
Sure.
I made so much money at that prop firm, they fired me. And blah, blah, blah. Now I know this.
See, but you have a good one.
I got the secrets.
You know what I'm saying?
I have a normal story, I feel like.
I don't think so. Everybody's is unique.
Unique, yes. Yeah. But I think mine's a little more normal than his, which he says he got kidnapped and basically held hostage.
Oh,
and like,
wow.
Then they
I don't even know about
you don't even know that, bro.
I don't know.
Dude, are you kidding me?
No.
His original story was that he got kidnapped by the market makers. They took him somewhere. I'm paraphrasing. I don't know it from his mouth. I'm hearing it through. And
what?
Then they kidnapped him and told him the secrets and then let him go. Not only did they let him go, they let him get a YouTube channel that has 1 million+ subscribers.
Interesting.
Is that how it went down?
That is the story. I can't believe you two were sitting here.
No. Cool. See, I'm in my, I like just stay in my lane.
But when you hear that story, you're just like, bro, talk to me about trading. Let me see. And then when you talk about, and I have a guy in my mentorship. So shout out to Zach. We might actually have a podcast with Zach coming after this one in a couple weeks. Probably will, because I'm going to go to New York and do it. Great trader. He's up $12,000 already this year from Top Step. He's trading futures, not CFDs. Mm-hmm. Great. Really doing well. And he's only spent $1,200. So he is profitable.
Yeah.
So
times 10.
Really good, right? He was in the Black Shirt Club with me and trading the A2, the strategy I teach. And then he really wanted to mix it with ICT. Mm-hmm. He left. He still works his job. Now he's cut his hours dramatically. But he worked on it on his own, combining ASFX stuff that I teach with ICT.
Cool.
It's working really well for him. But how often do you think I'm looking at something saying break and retest and he's calling it a break or block or whatever? It's the same thing with different language.
Different terms.
Yep.
And different that goes into my point that I made a few minutes ago. I think that there are an infinite number of ways.
All you have to do is read Market Wizards. That's like the actual thesis of the original Market Wizards, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Some dude's like in a library, like putting trades like from a newspaper And then another dude's actually doing like Elliott Wave, right?
So. What's the craziest trading, since I just told you a crazy story, you got any other crazy trading stories before we get into a little bit of
Clay's. Clay's got the craziest
Clay
story
doesn't.
Ever.
Dude, somebody today told me, they're like, I actually had a sales call with a guy in Bangkok who was like, yeah, I just need a 50K funded account. Like, I'll live great. He's from Germany originally. He's living in Bangkok. He said, he's like, I really liked the podcast you had with that guy. Nice. That was a drug addict and basically died. I was like, oh, I'm going to see him today.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Cool. Very relatable, bro. Yeah. And that's why I appreciate you sharing that. Because, I mean, you're not the only person on the podcast that has, like, remember I had Roland Wolf on the podcast. That dude was dead behind a Walmart.
Yeah.
Same kind of story. So, cool. Any other
Everybody's going through that. You know, maybe in not different that. Ways. Somebody in their family is. Sure. Or, and, you know, I was thinking earlier, too, not to, it's kind of the same topic, but when we're talking about prop firms and it's still an opportunity, the truth is, and our podcast, not to get into the conspiracy side of it, though, it's super important that that you quit saying that, you know, my strategy is better than somebody else's, or I know what's going on, you don't know what's going on, because like, it's super important now to make money and get yourself out of the matrix and out of the rat race and the way it's being set up, right?
Yeah,
because like, she can get crazy.
Stop drinking tap water. Make money for yourself.
The tap water, huge. For sure. Definitely stop drinking tap water.
Bro. Look, I mean, every story is going to be dream, struggle, victory. You know, so everyone's got their own, excuse me, type of story. But it's all the dream, the struggle, the victory.
Yeah, the hero's journey.
Dude, and you know what? That's it. America, especially, I think, maybe humans in general, but I think we love a comeback.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's why I love Clay Store.
You got kidnapped,
underdog.
And then you came back and told us the secret.
Yep.
You were dead and you came.
Yep.
They like the comeback.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they definitely like it. What else? Do you have any other crazy, dramatic trading stories that you could share? I've only gotten mine through the podcast, through talking to people on the podcast.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't think I have. Outside of Clay's, Clay's probably the craziest story I heard, man.
Yeah. Although Matt's is pretty crazy, too.
Matt's is crazy, too.
Crazy.
I mean, that's just like, it's just an entrepreneurial journey as well. And that gets back to, like, the Deadpool Wolverine thing.
It does.
You know?
Unkillable.
Yeah, for sure, man.
You got to be a dog.
Yeah, you got to be a dog. Yeah, and I think you got to stay a dog. Not just be and, like, feel
that's
like,
it.
I made it. You got to stay in it. Yeah.
You have to.
So let's talk about mindset and like, blending all this together.
Sure.
I know you just came out of a drawdown recently. Talk about that for a second. Because I think drawdown is a reality of trading that a lot of people don't want to confront. But I always tell them, get comfortable. Because it's actually better to take on the drawdown initially in your trading rather than ride a high and then get beat down.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to us about just how you've, over the years, learned to work through it.
Yeah. Well, we play a probability game. Yeah. Right. So understanding that first and foremost, understanding that I'm always playing the long game. Always. Never am I too caught up on what's right in front of my face, but the bigger picture.
Sure.
So we started February with high hopes, right? February, right?
Mm-hmm.
With high hopes to have a great month. And I still believe we're going to have an awesome month here. But
within your trading community?
Let's focus on me for instead of the community for now.
Right.
So
okay.
Since that was how the question was. So I had high hopes for February, just like I do for every month, and found myself in a bit of a slump. So 6 red trades in a row, right? 6 in a row. And
that's a punch in the dick.
Yeah. And you know, it's an honor, right? So perspective is everything.
Yeah.
And for me, I say, hey, at some point, right, we've been hot. I'm talking the last 3 years, it's almost like we can't miss, right? It really is. And it comes a point where you're going to go into a little bit of a slump.
100%.
So as it arrived, I very quickly filtered it through the correct perspective that, hey, this is what I've heard all those professional traders talk about, getting to this moment. Every single Mark Douglas, I won't even name names, but you know, not your Forex guy, your bigger stock, you know, long term.
Yeah, Ray Dalio, if you know his story.
Yeah, probably traded more than you and I have been.
Bill Ackman, to Billy.
Right. So, hey, I'm finally here. You know, I'm finally at the point where, and by the way, six red trades is not that big of a deal.
Some people
take 6 red days
in a day.
Yeah. So, but for me, that just goes to show you the quality of the trader, the quality of the playbook, where, whoa, 6 red trades in a row, like, that's absurd. Like, that's because we're that good, right? We're that disciplined to the playbook that it very rarely happens. So, you know, my perspective was awesome. You know, I got to remain composed, right? First and foremost is I'm trading a probability game. So I understand that if we sit here and roll a die and there's 6 numbers on the die, that if we're betting that the 2 won't show up. So if a 2 shows up, I pay you. If any other number shows up, you pay me. Who walks away with most of the money? I do, right? Because the odds are in my favor. But that's not to say I can't roll a 2 6 times in a row.
Damn right.
Right? So now we go back to the long game. Right?
Check those dice.
Something's going on. Yeah, and I'm going to create a YouTube video about this and about the whole month and all that. But I understand the game I'm playing, right? So I'm not... Oh my God. And look, remember we stream live, right? So thousands of people.
Yeah. How'd they take it?
Well, you know, the group,
your main core
was in it to win it, right? Yeah. They were in it with me, but you know, you have those people who just pop on the stream. They try and take a trade or two with us. So I have them in my ear, right? Change the strategy. This don't work. Does he still have it? And as a trader, you can begin to actually take that serious, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Where you have to realize, right, almost like an outer body experience, who you are, what data you trade data. So you understand your data. What can you do? So as Clay was saying before, this past week, we broke that slump, right? So what did I do over the weekend? I just recalibrated. And by the way, I've had a lot of things going on off the charts, right, that may have spilled over onto the charts.
It always does.
New baby.
Yep.
New move, right? Moved into a new place.
Yep.
A lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts. So what did I do? I said, okay, I'm going to significantly lower my risk. So I'm going to go lower in size and I just need to get some green on the board, right? That's it. Just, I'm not going to change anything with my playbook because it works, right? The data is there. I'm going to trust my data, not Joe Schmo 876 on YouTube, right?
Pikachu.
So, yeah, Pikachu 999 on YouTube, right?
Literally.
So I just trust the data like any professional would, bro. And kept my head down, kept taking the same setups, waiting for A-plus setups, never over-risking, actually under-risking, not over-trading, actually being extremely picky with the trades I take, and just getting green on the board. So we came out of that slump. We've got 3 back-to-back-to-back winners now. So it feels good.
What makes it something that you can get comfortable in? To the audience, how would you tell a trader that's heard, I have to get comfortable in drawdown? Mm-hmm. How would you give them tactics on getting comfortable in drawdown? Downsizing. Limiting the number of trades per day, something like that?
Yeah, 1 to 2 trades a day.
Limiting your hours. Because I'm thinking about like the guy that's in drawdown doesn't want to leave the desk.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to accept that he's wrong.
Of course.
So let's talk just for a second on the tactics of like getting comfortable being wrong.
Yeah.
What can you force yourself to do when you know you should stop trading? Because what's the worst thing you could have done, bro? In front of everybody, torch the whole thing.
Torch the whole thing.
But you didn't.
Yep, broke my rules,
right.
Over-traded,
yeah.
Been a horrible example.
Exactly.
Right.
So all of that probably weighs in on you. I know I have people watching me. I know I'm accountable. Accountability is a huge thing, I think, that can prevent you from tilting.
Yeah, I liked how you're sharing about it on your story, too.
Yeah.
And I think I commented on it.
I would have liked to see the story where you were like, I can't believe this. Blood, and you're just kicking the car or you're kicking your baby or whatever, but I know you kept that off the... But I mean, like,
that's slashing tires.
But that's what you're saying, right? Literally, I hate my life, right? No, but it's like, as much as we do all feel that way when we go into the...
Yeah, for sure.
It's good to be able to have that escape to your accountability group, but also to, like, pull yourself off the desk, something that you're really good. I mean, go off the desk, call it a day, and move on.
Yeah, and to keep it real, I never once thought, damn, you know, shit, slash the tires.
Kick
None
the baby.
No kicking the baby.
All right, so for the record, I'm the only one that wants to kick a baby.
Yeah. I run every thought through a well-equipped filter in my mind where I do not let these things affect me.
Right.
Do people like to lose? No.
No.
But again, I understand the game we're playing, and just as much as I help my community, they help me.
Right.
Right? Because like you said, I got to be accountable. Am I going to just let it rip here in front of 1,500 people, 1,800 people? No, I want to be an example for when they, not if, but when they come into their slump, they can remember back, how did Nick handle it? Well, what did he change? Did his attitude change? No. Did his words change? No. Did his trading change? No. He just showed up every day and looked for the next best setup with a positive outlook, positive mindset, knowing that that's all he could do.
So were you more of like a witness to your thoughts when you say you run it through a filter?
Yeah,
that's something you
do. I've trained the subconscious brain or subconscious mind for so long that it no longer even comes in, right? If it does, it's a split second. Damn, lost. Anyway, you know, can't do nothing about that. And just automatically, once a negative thought comes in, replace it with a positive thought.
Right.
You know, so I've done that for years and years and years.
Have you read Becoming Supernatural, Dr. Joe?
Yes, yeah. And it's prepared me for trading. You know, all that personal growth and development years ago, before I ever thought I was going to be a trader, has prepared me for this journey, right? So that's why I'm able to handle these things so fluently and just kind of move with this, you know, lightweight to me is that... Right.
Not putting too much weight. Good. It really is rooted in having a long-term vision. Yeah. If you're not so caught up in, I need to pay rent this month, it's easier to take the losses. Yeah. It's easier to take the drawdown.
Exactly.
Every professional trader has months of red. If you can't take the months of red, you're not going to make it in this business. So it's just about being ready for those.
And the bigger thing, too, is the bigger picture, right? Yes. Looking at what are the yearly stats? What have I done over the course of 12 months? Oh, anyway, just keep moving now.
Yeah. In Tom Basso, his book with Michael Covell called Trend Following Mindset, the foreword of that book is written by Tom's wife. So Tom managed $300 million at Trendstat. That was his hedge fund. Mm. Traded futures and Forex commodities, a bunch of cool, really cool stuff. Tom's a really, really good guy. I've had him on the show a couple of times. Mm-hmm. He's in Arizona. They call him Mr. Serenity because his wife would say, and she says this in the foreword, he could lose $700,000. He could make $700,000. He comes out of the office the same every day. And when she says, how was your day? He goes, oh, I'm up 70 grand.
Yep.
No emotion. Oh, I'm down 70 grand. No emotion. That even stasis is where he found success on his personal trading and with his hedge fund.
Yeah. What's his win rate?
I think it's fairly 30, 40%.
Right.
I don't think he's a high win rate guy, but he is a trend follower, so I could be wrong. His personal, he's never put out stats, so I'm guessing, you know, based off feel of a conversation, he has nowhere put out over 5 years of trend stat or 10 years.
Yep.
Basically, he was working at Monsanto and then got enough people to back him because he was trading on his own. He was managing $15 million part-time. Mm-hmm. Part-time.
Nice.
While still being an engineer for Monsanto.
Yeah.
Then he was like, okay, let's turn this thing
up to
a big buck here and go to 300.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk for a second about FOMO because I think it's important. And Mr. Serenity, don't feel FOMO. And I don't think, you know, as we get more experience, we start to feel less FOMO. I know I do. Like today on that trade I mentioned, I could have made a little more money, but I don't feel FOMO about $500 or $1,000. Mm-hmm. So is FOMO rooted in the fear of the money you would have potentially lost? Or do you think the FOMO is rooted in the fear of the potential of, like, I could have made more?
You see, FOMO is more so people saying, I coulda, shoulda, woulda, this and that every single time, right?
More so on the action, just the action of doing something.
On the action, because in the every day when you leave the desk, you're going to have, I shoulda did this, or, you know, maybe I coulda did that, or, man, if I woulda held longer. You just have to run your play. Right, I'm so big on just run your play. You don't need the whole move, right? If we missed the move from the early 1900s on gold, dude, right? We just want our piece of the pie. Right. And going back to the whole like up and down, where you know people are you know getting really sad when they lose and happy when they win. And like you said with Tom, it's you have to stay even keel. Like if you show up to our live streams and you see us take trades, it's it's the same reaction when we lose a trade to when we win. And I learned this from a kid named Don. He's like, why would we celebrate our wins if we're not going to dwell on our losses, right? So don't dwell on your losses. Don't celebrate your wins. Just keep trucking away day in and day out. Mm.
And when I need to drop in bombs. That was a
yeah, bomb. That would have been.
That was good.
Yeah, I like that.
And when it comes to FOMO, you have to understand what do you want out of the markets? Like one of the funniest questions I get on the live stream is, hey, Nick, I'm in GBP AUD, what should I do? Bro, what you should do is plan that trade out first, right?
No. What they should do is Venmo me the money they have in their account. I will spend it better than them.
Yes. Well, look, you got to plan your trade and you got to trade your plan. If your plan was to cut it at 15 pips and it runs for 80, what are you going to beat yourself up about that? Go back to what we talked about, taking that win, living your day with that feeling that you want to trade and coming back to the next day.
Dude,
so love that, dude.
All right.
Keep it simple, man.
Final question. This is a good one. One characteristic that you wish you would have had when you started trading or that you think every trader has to have.
Self-regulation. Yep.
Explain.
I don't like to use discipline because discipline has a negative connotation, right?
Sure.
Discipline to do that, discipline to do this.
Yeah.
You need to learn how to control yourself, right? You need to learn how to self-regulate, because here's what happens, and this is probably the horror story for most traders, is they get on the desk, they're ready to go, their mindset, their attitude is at a 10, right? They go ahead, they get a little FOMO. They break their rules, they lose a trade. They go from a 10 to a 7, right? So now they're at a 7. And, you know, now something else looks good. It doesn't quite fit the playbook, but I have a really strong idea that price is going to move this way. They break the playbook, they take another loss, they go from a 7 to a 5, right? Now they're beating themselves up at the desk. And when the perfect A-plus setup shows up...
They're at a 5.
Right.
They should be at a 10.
Yeah.
That's a great way of putting
hesitate.
It. They hesitate.
And they hesitate.
Or they trade it wrong.
Yeah.
Great point, bro.
The textbook, dude.
Yeah. So you have to learn
exactly
how to self-regulate, dude, right? And
really
understand, like, this is a business. This is a profession. It's not, you know, a fly-by gamble. It's the ones that will treat it like a profession will get paid like a profession. If you treat it like a hobby, you're gonna get paid like a hobby, and hobbies don't pay.
Damn right.
Hobbies cost money.
Damn right, bro.
Right?
Yeah, so you got to follow that up. That was the best
good
thing you've said
that
on the whole fire podcast at the end. That's fucking great, bro. Great answer.
Man, I think for me, it's just having longer-term expectations, because I came in with, a MLM style, you know what I mean? So I thought I was going to get rich super fast, and it's not like that. I knew it was going to be a journey, and I knew that I wasn't going to go anywhere once I made that decision. But I still, you know, the expectations weren't set in the proper way. So if anybody's watching this, and you know, it's going to take longer than you think. I don't care where you are. It's still going to take some time. It doesn't matter if you're at where Austin is, or where I am, or where Nick's at, or where somebody 5-10 years down the road. But different opportunities are going to come your way in and outside of the markets, you know, so it's just being ready for that and having the expectation set on yourself that, like, dude, I'm going all in on this, but it's going to take a while. Like Tony Robbins says, you know, I mean, everybody, they overestimate what they're going to do in 2 years and underestimate what they can do in 10 years.
100%.
So that's the way it works. And those expectations weren't set for me, and you know, but I mean, you start to learn them, quick.
The hard,
like, oh dude, this is harder than I thought.
That's why we do the live. That's one of the main reasons we do the live streams, right? Is to really show people this is hard, right? This is going to take time. This isn't your IG guru posting screenshots of TradingView, right? And I think if more people can get their expectations, not like what can I get out of the market today, but how long is this, what's this journey going to be like, then I think you'll see the failure rate begin to decrease a little.
And it also becomes easier to self-regulate. With a longer, if you do his, yours gets easier.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. I love that.
Boys, this has been great.
That's it. Yeah.
So for everybody watching, we'll put Nick's links down in the description. Clay and Top One's links down in the description as well.
Yeah.
Appreciate you both.
Yes, sir.
Until next time.
Yep.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Let's do it. Yep.
Listeners, we appreciate you. We love you. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Peace.
Later.